just come to conquer.
This guy can rule a heavyweight division for a long time.
My trainer always said, you're going to be good someday. And I was like, yeah?
Yeah, I'd say his trainer was about right. But even with huge success and riches, he found a way to stay focused on his goals.
I wasn't really that kind of guy to go out and buy 50 cars or buy 100 suits or like that. You know, I was pretty wise.
And that wisdom and drive, it made him an undisputed champion.
There's a way to become a champion. There's a way to become successful. And it's really just hard work, sacrifice, and determination.
So as they say, the champ is here.
Hi, this is Lennox Lewis, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. And I will be coming up on the Pulse.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. You know what we do here, talking to people with cool stories, getting their experiences, people who are making a difference, changing the world. And today we have a boxing legend, boxing royalty, somebody with an interesting perspective on boxing, obviously, because he has done it. The champ, the former undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Mr. Lennox Lewis. Thank welcome you. To the show.
Hey, thank you. I'm great to be here.
Appreciate you coming in. That for years, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world title carried the baddest man, you know, on earth.
Yeah, and I still have it.
You still have the title?
Or yeah,
you're still the baddest
champion.
Man.
I'm still undisputed, still the baddest man. I'll give Tyson that credit. He's the baddest man on the planet. But for me, I'm a champion, undisputed.
What did that feel like? Let me get into your whole story, but yeah. I can't imagine most people never get to feel like they're the toughest person on earth, like that, handle that title. What was that like?
It was actually easy because when I was a kid, we used to play this thing called King of the Hill. So, you know, the person goes to the hill and stays up there and everybody attacks him and tries to be king of the hill. And I know what that felt like. You know, once you're the king of the hill, you feel good. And to be a boxing undisputed heavyweight champion that's what every boxer wants to be. First, they want to be the champ. Then they want to say, we're from there. I want everything that's available for me to get as a trophy or as a championship. So if it's the linear championship, the undisputed championship, I want it all. And then when I get it all, then I can retire. But it takes a long time, takes hard work to get there.
You got it all.
Yes.
You know, you get there to that point. And kept going, kept fighting. Like, what drives you once you've gotten to be the king of the hill?
Just making sure that, you know, you beat everybody that's up there and that everybody knows that you're the best, then you can retire.
Okay. Let's go backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you actually did a documentary, a show, Your Life Story, not that long ago, that shares some of this information. But take us back. Like, what got you started in boxing? Why did you even want to do that?
You know, I was playing other sports. I was playing football, basketball, and those were team sports. And I found that in team sports, you know, you can have 50 guys on a team and one guy drops the ball. Everybody's crying because you've lost the game and it all depended on that one guy. So for an individual sport like boxing, I loved it because it was one of these sports you really depend on your own agility, your own speed, your own sharpness in boxing to become successful at it. And that's why I stayed in boxing, because it was individual, it all depended on you. You know, you have to do the work. Most of the fights that I went in, the last round was my worst round. First round was my best round. The last round was my worst round. And what I wanted to do is make sure the last round was my best round. So I started working hard, training, fighting, and, you know, developing my skills and getting better at it.
Even as a youngster, when you got into it, you always had that drive, because boxing, that's a tough sport, but you even had that as a young person.
Yeah, you know, my trainer always said, you're going to be good someday. And I was like, yeah? He said, yeah, you're going to be good someday. Watch this tape, watch that tape. And I was watching different tapes. Obviously, Muhammad Ali, loved Muhammad Ali boxing. You know, even what Muhammad Ali said, hit and don't get hit. That was in my head all the time. Hit and don't get hit. So, you know, every time I went to the gym, I tried not to get hit and hit. And then, you know, I've watched different heavyweights, took something from each heavyweight, you know, George Foreman, you know, this, he's great at this, blocking punches like that. Muhammad Ali, great at moving his head and flicking that jab. So I just wanted to take something, grab something from each heavyweight.
When did you know you were on to something? I mean, you started as a young person, yeah. You climb up the ranks, you go Olympics. Like, at what point do you go, I'm pretty good at this?
When I win the Olympics.
The first time you knew
you
were
that actually good. When I start winning tournaments. I won the Ontarios, the Canadians, all these different tournaments. I would go away to Europe. I would win the Stockholm Box Open, different tournaments around the world. And, you know, then people started to notice me, and it felt good.
I'm curious, as a non-boxer, there's a lot of people now, you know, we'll talk about Mike Tyson and the things he's doing right now. But you actually fought Mike Tyson, knocked out Mike Tyson, when people were viewing him as the scariest person on earth.
Yeah.
Right? I'm always curious, y'all are just built different. Like, did you have that same interpretation of him when you had to fight him, or did you know, like, I'm better than this guy, I can handle this guy? Like, do fighters have that same kind of in their chest going, I don't know, I'm about to get in the ring with this dude?
Me and Mike Tyson have a long history in the sense that, you know, he was up in the Catskills and he's with Customato, and I remember winning the world championships in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, in 1983. And these guys on the American team said, oh yeah, he didn't box the best one. I'm like, who's the best one? Why didn't bring him? They said he doesn't like taking planes. His manager doesn't like taking planes. And then me and my trainer said, let's go find this guy. You know, so we drove up to the Catskills one weekend. When I went up there, Mike Tyson was such a nice guy. He took me around.
Really?
He showed me movies of different fighters. And we had a great time. But then when we went into the gym and into the ring, he was a different person. He was trying to take my head off. So he was nicing me up at one point, and then all of a sudden, when we got in the ring, he was trying to take my head off. And he got the best of me the first sparring. And then the second sparring was a bit even. Then I got the best of him the last sparring, where, you know, Customato shouted out, Mike, don't you do this, because, you know, I was dancing around flicking out my jab, and he was like, come on, hit me, you know, because he wanted to get me close so he can hit me.
Right.
So when Customato shouted that out, I always thought in my head, is this fight ever going to happen? Even when he was in incarceration and he came out, I was still thinking, is this fight ever going to happen? Because to me, it wasn't ever going to happen, but it did happen. So Customato did speak the truth that day.
So a couple of things I get from that story. One, yes, you're built different because you went looking for Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go find him. Let's go to the Catskills to find this guy. Two, though, the behind the scenes, it's interesting that you were cool.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would imagine that took away some of the, like, when you did have to have this fight, I'm not scared of this guy. This is somebody that I've already sparred with and I know that I can get the best of. But you were also watching, a whole lot of people were afraid of him.
Yeah, they were afraid of him because, anybody would be afraid of a guy like that. He looked like a savage in the sense of the way he was. So for me, I've boxed him already. So that frightenedness or scaredness wasn't in me. It was more of competition, like, he's gotten better. I've gotten better. My skills are being honed for this amount of years. Now it's time to bring it on. I think, Manuel Stewart said Mike Tyson would be my easiest fight.
Really?
Yeah, because all the guys that I boxed on the way up, you know, Mike Tyson, they had a little Mike Tyson in them. They were short, their body punches, they threw hooks. So I've prepared for Mike Tyson by boxing all these guys. You know, I've seen Mike Tyson's come at me all the time, so I'm used to those type of fighters.
You reached that level of success, and you came up, and everything that I read and saw your life story, humble beginnings, boxing as competition and what have you. And then as you continue to climb up those ranks, at some point, it becomes, like, really profitable. Like, you start making.
Yeah.
Like, can you tell us about what it was like when you're climbing up the ranks and then somebody comes to you? You know, Lou DiBella is in the room. Somebody like Lou DiBella comes to you and is like, all right, kid, like, we got 20 for you, you know, or five for you, or whatever, like some astronomical number that I'm guessing you hadn't been offered before. Like, what's that like when you realize I'm about to be a millionaire now?
I think you have to understand my upbringing where, you know, it was just me and my mother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've always talked about this type of thing as I was, you know, growing up in my boxing, you know, after winning the Olympic gold medal for Canada. You know, my mom always was concerned about me signing a bad deal. So she always said, everybody's going to come at you, you know, with these piece of paper, but never sign without a lawyer. So that was one thing that she put into my head. The other thing is she put into my head, she said that you can only drive one car at a time. And I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. You
can, but I can own 50.
Right, but it doesn't make sense to own 50. So she kind of put those kind of senses into my head. So I wasn't really that kind of guy to go out and buy 50 cars or buy 100 suits or like that. You know, I was pretty wise.
So you came from humble beginnings, and in a lot of ways, it sounds like those humble beginnings kept you humble.
Yes.
You didn't, you weren't, I mean, everybody likes to make money, but it wasn't the thing that was driving you.
No, because at the end of it, when you look back in the history books, are you going to remember what you gained or how much money you made? You're gonna look back and say, oh, I was heavyweight champion of the world. I was undisputed champion of the world. That doesn't come with any digits beside it. So it's not going to tell people how much money I've made or that. It's just going to tell people what I've accomplished. And what you've accomplished will stick there forever.
What do you think about today's, I don't even know if you can call it, like the exhibitions, the craziness, the YouTube fighters, the
influencers? That's what I call them. I call them exhibitions. I call them YouTube fights. You know, it can't be serious fights. It's just an event to me.
Okay, so make that money.
Yeah.
No, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
You're not, do you watch them?
Yeah, of course. Of course. You know, you never know what's going to pop up. You know, you never know that. I don't even know what the rules are. I heard there's different rules, there's headgears, there's all the kind of different things. I don't even know what's happening.
Okay. So you don't begrudge anybody that, but that's not boxing.
Right. I'm happy for them. I think they're going to make a good bag, and hopefully they make it exciting. You know, there's a lot of kids that love Jake Paul, a lot of kids that love Tyson. They want to see what happens in the ring between both of them. What's going to happen? Me too.
So you don't have, do you have a prediction?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Mike Tyson's going to win.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. Mike Tyson's not that old. Don't take him too softly.
So Mike Tyson is the same age as you,
yeah,
or close.
Yes, one year apart.
So you feel like at what, 57?
Yeah.
At 57 and a world champion, you know, you still have the level of skills, quickness, toughness to fight somebody like that.
No. No, you don't. You gotta look at the age. I mean, of course, you can probably fight somebody like that and, you know, and do well, because okay, the person you're fighting is not a true fighter, and there's 100 things that you've forgotten that he's learning. So
you just think Tyson's so much better in talent that the age difference is not going to be the determining factor.
It'll be a little bit of determining factor if the fight goes on too long. But as far as, like, if they get close and, you know, Mike Tyson comes with his 10-second combination, if that one of those punches catch him, he's definitely going to go down.
So you're picking Tyson?
Oh, yeah.
Would you want to do this? Would you want to fight the winner?
You know, that's a good question. And, you know, if
not
they...
Not ready if to they, answer if, that yet.
Yeah, I'm not ready to answer that yet. But, you know, I hope Tyson saves a little bit of Jake Paul for me.
Okay. Now, you as somebody who cares about boxing, you're mentoring young fighters, somebody fighting in Philadelphia who you're kind of working through the ranks. Why? Why is that so important to you, stay involved?
Giving back, realizing, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that struggle, that need mentoring, that I can help, and that's what I do. You know, there's a couple kids out there that I'm helping, and I feel good about it. They need it, and I have the time to do it.
Does it help the sport of boxing or hurt? People have had this argument that these spectacles help boxing because you're getting more eyes on boxing and people are paying attention. The other side of that is that these spectacles make people think that the YouTuber or the MMA fighter or whatever should be in the ring with somebody of your caliber. Help or hurt?
I'm on the fence on that. I think it does both. You know, it brings light to boxing. Plus, you know, it also helps boxing in the sense that, say, hey, you got a YouTuber against a real boxer, who do you think will win? Obviously, sometimes, most of the time, it's a real boxer wins.
I feel like you're not sure if you want to do this.
What, in the ring?
Yeah, get back in there. And why? Like, we talked about the fact that you don't need the money. You were never driven by money. Right. You've accomplished everything in the ring. But is there still that, I still want to see if I can do this. I want to test myself. And why?
Why? Exactly what you said. You want to test yourself. You know, you feel mentally that you still can do something and you want to go out there and try it. For me, I always, when I stopped boxing, I said, that was it for me. You know, I want to make money in something else.
And you have.
Yeah. And you know, I'm trying to. You know, there's tech situations I can get involved in, all kinds of situations.
I feel like we're getting ready to announce here. He's going to smack Jake Paul or whatever. I've already fought Tyson, so there'd be no reason to do that. But I feel like you're lining up for Jake Paul. You did a documentary, and
yes.
We mentioned this, and kind of told your life story.
It did.
Yeah, why?
I think it was important. You know, everybody's seen different documentaries. You've seen Muhammad Ali's documentary, you've seen Tyson's documentary. It's time to see my documentary, Lennox Lewis's documentary, see where I come from, you know, what drives me. You found a couple of things that drove me today. You know, people didn't know these things about me, and there's still a lot people don't know about me, and I think the documentary covers a lot of it.
What do you hope that people get from it? What do you want them to learn about you that maybe they didn't know?
That there's different ways to go about being a champion, and it's not just one way. There's different champions from different areas. They've got all different types of stories to tell, and that's one thing that I wanted to bring across to people. Like, yo, you know, there's a way to become a champion. There's a way to become successful. And it's really just hard work, sacrifice, and determination.
You now have that documentary out. It's been out for a minute, but people can check it out. Documentary out. You do some broadcasting, potentially doing podcasts. You're getting out there and kind of sharing your story.
Right.
What do you want your legacy to be when people mention your name?
My legacy is a good legacy. I hate when people ask me that question, you know, because like, you know, what do you want your legacy to be?
You still
want
to fight. I hate when people say that. I didn't really mean it.
No, I want them to get the real story, you know the real me, and know that, you know, if you have a goal and a dream, it's definitely obtainable.
My last question is the last question for everyone who's a guest on The Pulse. The theme of the show is called Use Your Voice for Good. So if people sit back and ask how you want to use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
Use my voice for good. What it means to me is be positive, speak the truth, and be yourself.
I like it. Champ, I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks.
Still feel like
me.
You're going to smack Jake Paul.
No.
We're not announcing that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Bless.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with the former undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox Lewis, sharing his stories. And when you're in the room with him and standing next to him, it's easier to understand why someone like him isn't intimidated by Tyson or anybody else. I'll tell y'all, that's a big dude, like, even now. So I understand that concept. And he also looks like he was in enough shape that if he wanted to get back into the ring, he probably could. So I might rethink my whole, am I going to get in the ring with a heavyweight for whatever amount of money? I hope you enjoyed the discussion. I want to remind you that you can check out all of the episodes. Hit subscribe, like, follow, get access to all the episodes that we have, and head on over to Fox Local, where all of the episodes are there. You can watch all of them. It's at your fingertips. I appreciate you, and I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.